Hello, everyone. I'm Travis Pope, editor-in-chief of InConnected.com. If you last tuned in with us back in November, you will notice a big change in between this episode and that one. The format's changed. We're starting it now to focus the podcast less on weekly events and more on complete narratives, person-to-person interviews, and when the occasion calls for a roundtable or live episode. In fact, that first one, actually, those person-to-person interviews, you're here tonight. So if you've got any changes or ideas you'd like to throw at us, hit us on Twitter at InConnected or just go to InConnected.com. I'll read those emails personally. And I guess with that, here's InConnected Episode 4.
InConnected Live is sponsored by Consumer Camp. Follow at Consumer Camp on Twitter to learn more about the Microsoft products you use every day and to find a consumer camp near you.
This is a Paige Aiden podcast. Just 5 or so years ago, telling someone you brought an Xbox would start an immediate debate. The debate would be long and drawn out and involve things like, well, Microsoft came into this last, or Sony's been really good, or Nintendo's moving millions of units. Fast forward to the future, that's not exactly what you hear anymore. Xbox has turned itself from a simple gaming console back in 2001 to an entertainment powerhouse of all kinds, whether that be video games, television shows, movies, music videos. One of the biggest weapons Microsoft has had so far has been its community outreach. The people who use this stuff love it. They love to use it, they love to talk about it, they love to share that passion with others. One of the biggest people to share that passion has been Godfrey from GamertagRadio.com. Over the last few years, he's managed to turn that site into a powerhouse, discussing everything from Xbox news to reviews of the latest video games to changes that Microsoft can make to its strategy. I wanted to talk to him about how he felt the console was going and how his roots are synonymous with where other people have started, ourselves included. I caught him earlier this week via Skype.
Well, when I started my show for the Sega Dreamcast, I had a show called PSO Radio. And around that time, I got introduced to the Microsoft console at that time. It was the original Xbox. And they had an event in New York City called Xbox Unleashed, where all the original staff that worked on the console, the first console, they were there. And they had like the whole first hands-on community event. And they had like a 48-hour competition, and I was there for 48 hours, and it was me and like 10 other people that we were like at the finals, and Jay Allard surprised us. They were like, look, guys, we're going to give you each a free Xbox console, you know, with a copy of Halo. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool, you know, and ever since then, I've always been a fan of Microsoft. Like, I think they always been great. And they got to see the vision. You know, I know Sega did the same thing with the Sega Dreamcast, but Microsoft, they're like, look, we're going to change things. Online gaming is going to change big time. And I remember the first year, they only had the console, but there was no Xbox Live. Then a year after, that's when, I believe in 2002, that's when they released Xbox Live. And I was just a huge fan ever since, man. But because of that event, I also got to meet Bill Gates in New York City for the launch of the original console. So ever since then, man, I've been a fan. And, you know, now with the Xbox 360, been there, you know, since day one. And let's see what happens in the future with them, too, you know. So,
I mean, you bring up a very, very good point, which is that a lot of people don't separate the difference between Xbox, the console, and mm-hmm. Xbox Live. Do you feel like... the console existed a year before Xbox Live arrived. Do you feel like they're really starting to separate from being the same thing?
Same thing as in what way?
As in, for example, there's Xbox. There's the Xbox 360, which runs Xbox Live. But for example, I'm using a Windows 8 and a Windows phone. Both have Xbox Live functionality, even though it's not all of what the Xbox 360 has. Both are considered to be Xbox Live devices.
Yeah, see, like, I think that when you compare the original console and the 360, I think that the original console was focusing more about the hardware, and this one was the one we have now. It was more about the software, because if you compare the 360 from 2005 to now, there's been so many changes. There's been more changes with the software than the hardware, you know. So, you know, it's like, if you compare the original Xbox dashboard that they had when it first launched to now, huge change. Now we have, you know, now we could watch Netflix. We could download apps that wasn't available before for this console when it first launched. I remember back then when I downloaded, I was trying to rent like movies for the Xbox. I believe they launched it. I can't remember which what year it was, but when I remember downloading that, you had to wait until the whole thing was like fully downloaded. There was no background downloading thing for the console. So they made huge changes and they learned a lot. You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, they really wanted to compete with Sony. And look, they did a better job with Sony when it comes to the whole online features and everything. So, you know, when people complain about paying $50 a year for Xbox Live, like, to me, it's worth it, because if you compare the free online gaming that I have for you know, PSN and Xbox Live, there's so many things that we could do for Xbox Live, you know, with the whole cross game chat, and lots of things compared to the PSN. Plus, the service always been very, very smooth. I haven't had no issues with Xbox Live since 2002. So I think it's worth it, man. They've been expanding. I think they're gonna expand even more now with E3 coming up. I personally think that Microsoft finally is gonna announce about the expansion friend list, because it's been like the same since since day one. So we might see that for during this year's E3.
You bring up a very interesting point, another very interesting point, mind you, which is we're 5 weeks away from E3. That Microsoft has publicly announced that there'll be no hardware changes, but you can't show up to E3 with just a handful of exclusive titles and expect to walk away with a championship award. What do you think the prospects are looking like for anything outside of just, this is the next version of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 5? Or...
I think we had a debate last year. I think that... I think that the console has reached its peak. Like, I think that it's time for a new console for developers to take advantage of those features, because Call of Duty has been the same. You know what I'm saying? Gears of War, the same. Halo, I think, is the only thing that it looks like a little bit different now graphically. But I don't know. I would like to see something different now. I'm getting kind of tired of the same thing that's been releasing every year, you know? But I know there's been rumors, you know, people are saying that Xbox they might announce their next console during E3 2012. It could be possible, but I mean, to you as a fan of Xbox, would you like to see a new console finally, or you think they should wait a little longer and just keep it the same?
For me personally, I'm not gonna lie here. I'm more of an Xbox casual gamer than I am really a hardcore gamer. I still pick up the Halos. You know, I still pick up Batman Arkham City, which should have been Game of the Year. But that's my aspect of it. For me personally, I think that the console. I mean, I personally think that the console has reached its peak, and the numbers don't lie. I mean, Xbox has been the number one console for about a year, a little more, but that's not really saying much when you look at the overall hardware gaming sales. They're still pretty much in the toilet.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's true. And you know what, too, with the whole Kinect, I think that helped introduce new gamers into the to be part of this industry, to buy, you know, the 360 and get into games and all that stuff. So it's a great thing, man. You know, I know we started the whole thing getting it more mainstream, but now with the with Kinect, I think that's helping the industry too, big time too. So not much with the whole PS Move, but I don't know, I love PS3. You know, I love the whole Sony console games, but I think that they kind of slipped with the release of the PlayStation 3. I think that their next console, it's going to be a lot better, even software wise too, man. You know, I think they learned a lot from Microsoft, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you get a beating like the one they've gotten in this console generation, I think it's kind of hard to not walk away with any lessons. I mean, for me, it's all about, so you mentioned Kinect.
Yeah.
Kinect, a year ago, hot topic. Now, not so much. Here's my question.
Yeah.
I listened to Gamertag Radio. I listened to the episode in which you and Paulson J got into an argument about whether the Kinect was going to, whether the Kinect has successfully introduced a new generation of Xbox gamers. Have you? Here's my question. Do you still believe that? Do you still believe that it actually worked?
I think so, man. I think so. I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, every month, it doesn't lie, you know.
Wait.
But at the same time, too, it's like, you know, yes, there's a lot of crappy games for Kinect. I'm not gonna lie, it is true. But at the same time, there is gonna be games that, you know, maybe at this year's E3, because now it's gonna be now almost 2 years now with the release of Kinect. Maybe we're gonna get to see a lot better games that we could use both the controller and Kinect at the same time, instead of just, you know, the movements, you know, and the camera, and that's it. But I think we're gonna see more games like that for coming up this year for the console and Kinect. So I think look last year, I remember the year that 2 years ago when they announced about Kinect, all this stuff, a lot of people were kind of like trashing it. They were like, oh, I want to see better games and all this stuff. So then last year at E3, even though some of the presentation was kind of corny here and there.
Always, yeah.
Yeah, they introduced, they showed a lot of games for Kinect more than ever. And still people were trashing. They were like, oh, it's too many games for Kinect. I'm like, wait a minute. Before you were complaining, there was not many. And now there's too many? It's like, I don't get it. So I think this year, cross my fingers, I hope that Microsoft have a better presentation during this year's E3. And probably going to get to see some cool features that us, you know, like my, you know, I'm a hardcore gamer. We might get to see, you know, games for us for Kinect, you know, and we'll see. We'll see
later. Okay, so you think hardcore gaming is possible with the Kinect?
It is possible. There's some cool games that that's more for us. I mean, Ghost Recon, it's coming out, I believe, in May this month. And, you know, they added this feature where you could use Kinect and you could customize your weapons and stuff. I mean, it's not something that's going to make people buy Kinect, but I think that's a little cool feature. You know, I think they're also releasing Dragon's Lair, you know, for the old school fans out there. That came out back in the 80s from the arcade. And I know there's been so many different versions of the game, but this time, instead of playing on a controller, now you could play with Kinect. And even there's a co-op feature there too, like for the first time. So, you know, little things like that, it's cool, you know? So, and plus I like Kinect because it's a great way for me to get together, you know, with my family and my girlfriend, that they're not really hardcore gamers. But they're casual, and we've been having a great time playing it, you know? So it's pretty cool. I like it.
I can agree with that. I mean, for us, it's, for me personally, Kinect, it was big on you are the controller. I don't necessarily know if that really, I mean, I've played Forza 4. I've used the facial tracking. It's great and everything.
It's cool. It's cool.
I used it with Mass Effect 3.
It's not perfect. See, with Mass Effect, I used it a lot, I think, throughout the whole game. I was using it from the beginning all the way to the end.
Yes.
With Kinect.
Yes.
So, see, that's like
better with Kinect, I think, is a better proposition than just the Kinect title.
It feels like I'm part of the game. I've never had that feeling with other games because I'm talking to it. You know, it's like a little, and controlling it at the same time with my control. So it's like, it was awesome. I had a great time with that. But see, like, yes, Kinect is not perfect, but remember, Microsoft could easily send out updates for the camera and the console to make it even better. Because right now, it's using the same software as before, but remember, they could easily send an update and change and make it even better for the camera, you know? So, you never know.
All right. Before you go, because we caught him on a busy day, folks. Before you go, I want to get your reactions on a couple of extended Xbox Live things, but we're going to do that right after this. We'll have more of my conversation with Danny Peanut from Gamertag Radio in just a few moments, but first I want to take some time to talk to you about Consumer Camp. If you've got an Xbox, a Windows Phone, a Windows PC, anything Microsoft Entertainment related, head on over to twitter.com/consumercamp, all one word, for the latest information on how those things fit together and how you can learn more on how to use those products. Remember, it's twitter.com/consumercamp. And tell them Travis sent you. Here's more of my conversation with Danny Pina. We're talking to Danny Pina, host of Gamertag Radio, and Yo Soy Danny Pina on the Discovery Channel Latin America, where we're talking earlier about some extended Xbox Live things like Kinect and where we thought the console might go. But now I want to get into two things. First, where Xbox Live, the service is going. Now, Danny, have you used Windows 8 at all?
Honestly, I'm a Mac guy. I'm a Mac guy.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I'm an iPad guy. You know, I'm an Apple. You know, I love Windows, but the things that I do, I use it, you know, with my whole Apple laptop, MacBook Pro. But don't get me wrong. I love Windows, but you know.
I mean, what can you do? My question is this. So the Xbox. Ooh, getting feedback here. Hold on a second. My thing is the Xbox 360, devoid of Xbox Live, is moving towards using Xbox Live as some kind of connective tissue for what gaming you do on the PC and what gaming you do on the Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to assume you're an iPhone user too, right?
Yeah, I'm an iPhone. I also have Android too. So okay. I tried out everything. I like that stuff.
So as an Xbox Live user, obviously you've made a kind of a conscious choice not to engage in what Microsoft's doing with Xbox Live on other services, like, for example, games for Windows Live, which I'm going to safely assume that you don't use. Do you?
No, I don't use.
Yeah.
No.
And let me be clear, audience, there's no reason you should currently. But why do you feel like their success, Xbox's success, and the home console hasn't necessarily turned into success with games for Windows Live before it or Xbox Live on Windows Phone?
That's a good question, man. I mean, I don't know. I think that I know Microsoft, they launched the Zune. That kind of flopped. And honestly, I thought it was going to be potential with that. I was like, oh, my God, this is pretty cool. I like this whole, you know, features and everything. And now they have Windows, the mobile device. And I don't know, man. It's like, I think that people are still trying to figure out if it's worth it or not, because they already know how it is now with Android and with Apple iPhones. I think people are still trying to figure it out. Like, they already know that Microsoft is really good when it comes to the whole console and gaming. You know what I'm saying? So I don't even know if I'm answering the question or not. But I don't know. Like, I think people are just like, they know Microsoft. They trust Microsoft when it comes to that stuff. But when it comes to with like MP3 players and mobile, people are kind of iffy with that.
So
So.
I'm gonna give my reasons for not, and it's purely, this is just me. I'm not exactly any representation of anything, but I feel
Okay.
like as a traditional Xbox user, right? Like your demographic should be the people flocking to these new services. I feel like that's not happening because I think the Xbox 360 and the Xbox brand speak to gamers. And I don't think these other products do. Certainly Xbox Live on Windows Phone, I think, doesn't. And I feel like there's something lost in translation between the two. But I figured as an Xbox Live user, as an Xbox user, excuse me, long term, is that something you feel too? Is that something you can sense too, looking from the outside in on these services, or?
I'm trying to like, let me ask you this. Do you think Microsoft been great when it comes to marketing or like promoting their products like Windows Mobile and the Zune? Do you think they're pretty good with that? Because in a way, they've always been on top when it comes to that for the console. They've been promoting it like crazy. Like, I know Kinect, when before release, they had advertisements everywhere. They were in every show, Oprah. They were in the Ellen DeGeneres, the Today Show. They went mainstream with this. But I don't see this with Windows Mobile and also the Zune in the past. I've never got to see that, so it's like,
That's very true. It almost seems as if maybe they haven't really tried.
no, it's not they tried. It's like they're experimenting first more with the hardcore fans, and then they go to take it to the mainstream, like with Mark with the original I mean not the original Xbox, but with the 360. What Microsoft did was, okay, we're going to release this before Sony released their console. So we're going to do this. We're going to have some leaks online for the hardcore, pump it up. And we're going to announce that we're going to reveal the Xbox 360 on MTV. So that's more for the mainstream, right? But then once they announced that, they made a special video more for like the geeky, the hardcore people that are into like the whole specs and all that stuff. They had a video for that too online. So right away, they know how from the get, they know how to market the 360 from the get go. When the original Xbox came out, it was more for like hardcore fans. It never got mainstream at all. You know what I'm saying? So plus, Sony was kicking butt at that time too with the PlayStation 2. So I think that's the reason why Zune never made it to the mainstream. And I mean, Windows Phone, it's doing okay. I
By
know at
Zune
first it's,
standards.
yeah, by Zune standards, but it's not mainstream like how Android and Apple is doing with the iPhone and all that good stuff. So I think Microsoft, they're I believe third place when it comes to that stuff. Right? Or am I wrong? When
With
compared
Windows
to them,
Phone, there, yeah, distant third, yeah.
yeah, third. I mean, it's not a bad phone. It's a great phone. I try it out here and there, but compared to Android and Apple, it's gonna be kind of hard.
Well, I gotta ask you a question before we move on then. If
Yeah.
what do you think they, as a perspective, you're the ideal consumer for all these other Xbox Live services. What do they have to do to get you?
To get me,
To get you? What do they
tell
have to
me
do?
why I like, show me features, show me stuff that for me to get rid of my phone, make it user friendly for also developers, like let them produce some apps for there exclusively that's not available for the Android and Apple. Little things like that. I know Android started pretty rough at first, but they got better and better, and they're everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So it took them some time. I mean, they're not beating Apple, but they're pretty up there. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I think maybe that's like the but it's really good. Don't get me wrong, I love the software of Windows, but it's not enough for me to change my mind.
All right, before we wrap up, I want to get we have to talk about the big bucket of awesome that is GTR. Folks,
Definitely.
if you haven't listened to the show, let me be clear. Don't get me wrong, I'm not dissing the Joystick Podcast. I'm not dissing, or excuse me, I guess they're calling it the Super Joystick Show now. Or whatever.
They're
I'm
cool
not just
people.
I'm
Cool
not dissing
people.
Polygon or the Besties or anything, but you know what? You could describe it better than to me. Tell them what it is you do week after week on that show.
All right, every week we have a show called Gamertag Radio. We talk about everything from Xbox, PlayStation, Wii, PC, everything. Everything that's going on behind the scenes in the gaming industry, we talk about that community too. And it's been doing great. We have already now over 2.5 million downloads, and we're doing really, really good, man. So check it out. It's pretty cool. It's like an hour long, maybe sometimes 40 minutes. I had people from every single company you can think of. I had them on our show to talk about like their product, their game. We also leaked some stuff before that's been all over the news. Major sites like Time Magazine and IGN and Kotaku. So from coming from an independent podcast, we're pretty good. You know what I'm saying? That every year too, we also have this party called Community Vibes. It's a free event, which is for everyone, fans of GTR or new fans, or they're just interested to see what the hell is going on in this party, and our last party that we had was 2 years ago.
Oh, you got to exactly what I was about to my next question was going to be.
Yeah, what was
Wait,
the
come on, man. It's been 2 years.
yes
Come on.
yes well the, let me finish this one. Like that last party we had, we did it during Super Bowl weekend, and we were competing with a lot of these major parties, and the Miami New Times rated us as the number one Super Bowl party for that weekend, and we were like in shock. We're like, oh my God, this is like insane. But see, like, because of the party was so unique and different, that's why they gave us our props, and plus we were doing this for free for the community. It wasn't something like we were like charging $500 just to go in, because people were doing that at all these parties during Super Bowl weekend. So but we're working on our next one. It's still early. Like, I can't really talk much about it, but our focus is right now, E3 that's coming up in June. We have a big announcement about that too, like in the coming weeks, and that's our focus right now. But we're definitely gonna bring back Community Vibes for sure.
And you're gonna do E3 in a big way again this year. You guys did awesome coverage last year.
Let me tell you, like, compared to every other podcast out there, we go crazy. We go all out compared to every other podcast. Like, not only have a daily podcast, but we post interviews like crazy. Every hour we put like five, four interviews, or it's a little bit different compared to other shows out there. You know what I'm saying? And if you guys have our app, either for Android or for Apple iOS, we also have like exclusive content for you guys too. So if you have an iPad, you could download it. It's $1.99. Support us, it's been doing great. Been doing great.
It's awesome. You also host Yo Soy Danny Pina on the Discovery of Latin America. Tell us about that. I actually didn't know you did this one until a couple days ago.
Yeah, I have a weekly show for Latin America. It's called Yo Soy Danny Peña. It means I'm Danny Peña. This show has been we launched back in February, and I made the announcement in January, and then we launched in February. So it's been doing great. We're planning to attend E3 this year for the f this is gonna be like Discovery's first time attending E3 for the show. So it's great. You guys could watch it. It's in English, but is translated in subtitles, Spanish or Portuguese subtitles. And I had so far Sony, I had Jo Garcia, she's from Playboy. I had her on our show. I had also WWE Games, which I believe comes out this week. Prototype 2, Transformers, Fall of Cybertron, a bunch of other interviews too, man. So even Sega was on our show too. So it's pretty cool. And if you guys, please, if you can, check out the video and post comments and stuff. It's, you know, it's a great way to support someone that came from the bottom and, you know, taking things to the next level now, you know, with this. So it's pretty cool. Had a great experience with this, man.
He's being modest. He's already on the top.
Danny, not top. I don't say
you're
I'm top.
You're up there.
Yeah, I'm cool. But you know what? Yes, some people see that, but I still the same person. I haven't changed at all because, you know, I love the community and I know how it is, man. You know, when people start like their own blog or podcast, like it's pretty hard, especially nowadays. It's pretty hard because there's so many sites out there to compete. And my advice to you guys is, you know, do your thing, network if you can, travel and attend events. That's like the best way to get your name out there. I did the same thing with GTR and it helped me a lot. You know, nowadays you guys have tools that I didn't have when I started back in 2001, 2005. You take advantage of that stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? So my advice is go out there and network with people. So if there's an event locally or somewhere in New York City or California, whatever, try to attend those events, man. You know what I'm saying? So it will definitely help you out to get some new listeners. Yeah.
Wise words from a very wise gamer. Don't forget to check out GamerTechRadio.com for all the latest in hardcore and sometimes softcore gaming news, as well as Your Soy, Danny Pina on YouTube is where I found it. But you can also check it out on Discovery Latin America. Before we get out of here, I want to give you a couple ways to comment on the new format or the show in general. Hit us up at the team at ENCONNECTED.com or just go to inconnected.com and click on the little button that says podcast on the navigation. You'll also be able to join our InConnected social group and keep us on your computer with an ongoing conversation about the show. InConnected Live is produced by Shadi Frierson. I'm your host, Travis Pope. I'll see you again here next week. Have a great week, everyone.
No, thanks for the invite, man. I know I read on Twitter you were saying nervous, man. I'm like, why are you nervous? It's cool, it's me, man. It's not. You shouldn't be nervous, man.
You shouldn't be nervous. It's Godfrey from Gamertag Radio, sir. Every time I hear the word Zoom, I want to cry.
yeah, man, Zoom had potential, man, but disappointing, man, you know? So I still have my old Zoom here somewhere.